Now then, Paul starts off here in the very first verse of this 12th chapter writing to the church at Corinth by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And as I said to begin with, I'm sure of this one thing, that if God did not want the church at Corinth to be ignorant concerning these things, he doesn't want the church in Tulsa to be ignorant concerning these things. You know, when I say the church, I'm not just talking about one group or one body. I'm talking about the church at large or the church as a whole. And then he said here, beginning with the fourth verse, "Now thou art diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And thou art differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And thou art diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." Then he went on to say, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then he lists here 9 manifestations of the Spirit. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." And so these 9 manifestations of the Spirit, as you can readily see, can be divided into 3 categories. 3 gifts that reveal something, 3 gifts that do something, and 3 gifts that say something. Or, in other words, the 3 gifts of revelation are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The 3 gifts that do something are the 3 power gifts, as they're often called, or the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. The 3 inspirational gifts are vocal gifts, are gifts that say something, or, of course, the gift of prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, very often, these gifts work together, just like tongues and interpretation work together. But we just simply divide them, as they're divided here, to distinguish them, to talk about them. And we readily see, then, that very often they are in manifestation together. And sometimes what we call prophecy is actually a word of wisdom that's being given forth by the Spirit of God, and is really not the simple gift of prophecy at all, because the simple gift of prophecy has no revelation with it. It's only speaking unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. And so we began with discussing these gifts that reveal something. The 3 that reveal something are the word of wisdom, as I said, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirit. Now then, we've already discussed the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, so we'll come today to the discerning of spirits. And this gift, the discerning of spirits, completes the cycle of the revelation gifts of the Spirit. This is the last one. It's listed way down here in 7th place. But we've gone down there and got it and brought it back up here because we wanted to put it along with the others, because it belongs to the revelation gifts. Now, actually, if you want to know which is the most important, the word of wisdom, of course, is the best gift of all of them. And the word of wisdom, of course, would be the best revelation gift. The word of knowledge would be the second best revelation gift. And the discerning of spirits is the third or the last in that category. Or I'll put it this way, the least important of the revelation gifts. You'll find out why as we go along. As I said, this gift, discerning of spirits, completes the cycle of the revelation gifts of the Spirit. Everything within the realm of knowing. Facts, events, purpose, motive, origin, destiny, human or divine or devilish, natural or supernatural, past, present, or future, comes within the focal range of one or other of these three gifts. They include in their comprehensive survey all that God knows, and there is nothing that God knows that may not be made known to man as the Spirit wills, through the agency of one or more of these three gifts. Now, the word of wisdom gives us the revelation of the mind and the purpose of God. You could understand why that would be the greatest of all of them. Because naturally that would be more important than anything else in all the world, to have a revelation of the mind and purpose of God. The word of knowledge gives us the revelation of things that are or have been. The discerning of spirits gives us insight into the spirit world. Now let me stop off long enough to say this, and we'll say it again in a different form in the process of time. It is not discerning of devils. It is not discerning of evil spirits. There is no such gift mentioned. To say that discerning of spirits just has to do with devils is misleading. It has to do with spirits. That means both good and bad. It's supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. It is the discerning of spirits, not the discerning of devils. Of course, the discerning of evil spirits is included here. But too many times folks have thought that that's all this is talking about and have been misled. Now, you see, discerning of spirits, as I said, is supernatural insight into the realm of spirit. That is the entire spiritual realm, discerning the similitude of God. You see, after all, God let Moses look into the realm of spirits. He said, you can't look on my face, but I'm going to hide you in the cliff, the rock, and put my hand over your face. I'm going to pass by you, and I'm going to let you see my back parts. Well, he was seeing into the spirit realm, wasn't he? Was able to discern the similitude of God. And then in vision form, through the Bible, at different times, people have seen the similitude of God. They didn't see God, they saw the similitude of God. As he was revealed, they were seeing into the spirit world, wasn't they? Well, that was a manifestation of discerning of spirits, you see. You know, old Isaiah said, in the days of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord holy and lifted up. And many instances. Or, through the discerning of spirits, seeing into the spirit realm, you could discern the risen Christ. He appeared at many times to other folks. Nobody has seen him after his ascension and seating on high. Nobody has literally, physically seen Jesus. Are you listening to me now? I said after his ascension on high. For the simple reason that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But through this supernatural gift of discerning of spirits, people have been able to see into the spirit realm, and sometimes Jesus appeared to them. They've seen him. But you see, they're seeing into the spirit world. And he's appeared in various forms, even in Bible days, to different people. And as well as to some in these days, see? Well, all visions actually would be a manifestation of discerning of the spirit. Might bring a word of wisdom with it. Might bring a word of knowledge with it. But the vision itself would be a discerning of the spirit, because that person would be at that time seeing into the spirit world. To discern means to see, you see. Discerning or seeing into the realm of spirits. And in the spirit world, of course, there are divine spirits. And then, of course, there are evil spirits. And then, of course, we also have the human spirit to deal with also. And so, discerning of spirits may be discerning, as I said, the similitude of God, or discerning of the risen Christ, or discerning of the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, not seeing him, but John saw in his vision on the Isle of Patmos, you know, when God showed him a vision, well, he saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God, didn't he? But that just simply meant that he was seeing into the spirit realm these seven aspects of the Spirit of God. And it also means that the discerning of cherubims, discerning of seraphims, archangels, or the host of angels, or the discerning of Satan and his legions, and also the discerning of the human spirit, or the good or the evil tendencies in the spirit, or the power that's evil or good or bad that may be behind the motivation of any manifestation. Because a lot of manifestations into this realm in which we live come from different sources. And a lot of things that are miraculous, as far as we're concerned, do not always come from God. Because, you see, Satan is a supernatural being also. And too many times folks are ready just to follow anything. Amen, that's the truth. Whether it's proven by scriptures or whether it isn't proven by scriptures. And we need to realize this. Now, I know this much, that there is a manifestation of the word of knowledge, and we've talked about this supernatural manifestation of the word of knowledge. And whereby, for instance, Ananias, who was a disciple in the church at Damascus, the Lord appeared to him in a vision, said, Ananias, arise and go into the street called Straight. Well, he told him the very street to go to, and the very house to go to, and the man's house, and that there was a fellow there praying by the name of Saul, and he had had a vision and seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. And I know this much, that a lot of times the Spirit of God may impart a word of knowledge to folks along certain lines in this area. I have had him to do so with me. Yet right on the other hand, sometimes there is manifestations in this area that are very close. I know a certain individual that I'd never been in one of his services. I never heard really the man preach. I did know from some folks that were close to him that the man was not living right. And of course, the Bible tells us, by their fruits ye shall know them, of course. But I remember one place where I was preaching on a Sunday night in the eastern part of the United States, that this man was in the service, and so the man in charge of the service invited him to come to the platform and say a few words. And as I sat there, as he began to talk, I heard somebody say, I looked behind me, see if I knew there wasn't anybody sitting behind me, but it was so real. The Holy Spirit said to me, a familiar spirit. He has a familiar spirit. Now, you see, folks thought he had the word of knowledge in operation, because he could tell people of something about themselves. He could give them their name and address. He could tell them how much money they had in their purse. He could tell them what they had in their pocket sometimes. But the Spirit of God said to me, just spoke so plain. In fact, I looked behind me to see who said it. And of course, there wasn't anybody behind me. But just involuntarily, you look. Well, now, that just simply meant this. And in the Old Testament, God talks about familiar spirits, and forbids the people of God to have anything to do with them. Well, naturally, these familiar spirits or evil spirits, they're familiar with people. They know about people, and they'd pass on information to him. But it's one thing to have a genuine manifestation of the Spirit of God. And you know, if this discerning of spirits is an operation, you know the spirit behind the operation. But then right on the other hand, if we know the Word of God, without even having discerning of spirit and manifestation. If we know the Word of God, if we're walking in the Spirit, we'll have an inward witness. There'll just be something on the inside of us that'll set up an alarm. I think what happens with us so many times is that we just don't learn as we ought to follow that something on the inside of us. Are you listening to us? Our spirits, and God communicates with our spirits. Our spirits just know things our heads don't know. And of course, she knew she didn't know. She wasn't like some other folks. They think they know. They know. Oh, yeah, they know. But she just knew she didn't know, and she is just dependent on the Lord, and so she learned to listen down there on the inside, and so she never got hurt. It wasn't the baby Christians that got hurt. It was older Christians that got taken in. Well, I'll tell you, friends, as I said, we don't need discerning of spirits just to know when something's wrong. We ought to know God's Word well enough for ourselves. We ought to be able to follow the inward witness. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Implying that all the sons of God can be led by the Spirit. But he certainly doesn't imply that all the children of God would have discerning of spirits, because he said, for to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another the discerning of spirits. Well, that doesn't say or even imply that everybody would have this, but it does imply, the Bible does imply, that every believer could be led by the Spirit. So we need to distinguish the difference in that we're not led by discerning of spirits. We just, some things are revealed to us when it's necessary. We know some things by discerning spirits, of spirits. Now, this discerning of spirits actually has a more limited range than the other two revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, because its revelation is limited to a single class of objects, that is, spirits. Where the revelation, you see, that the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge brings is broader and applies to people, places, things, and so on and so forth. The discerning of spirits gives us supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. It, in other words, is seeing into the spirit world. It also reveals the kind of a spirit behind a supernatural manifestation. Now then, sometimes someone has said one of the best ways in the world to find out what something is to find out what it isn't. Let's talk a little bit about what it isn't. It is not discernment. You see, a lot of times people say, well, God, I believe I've got the gift of discernment. Well, now, actually, there isn't any such thing as the gift of discernment mentioned in the Bible. It is the discerning of spirit. Now, a lot of times, what people call discernment is really the word of knowledge in operation. They know things by the Spirit of God. And they call it discernment, but that doesn't mean that it is discernment. It is actually the word of knowledge. And then again, it is not a kind of a spiritual thought reading. That's not what this is. It is, as I said to you, there are three kinds of spirits, divine, satanic, and human, that we have to deal with. And then again, this is not psychological insight. Has nothing to do with that. It is not mental penetration. Has nothing to do with that. It is not power to discern the faults in others. In fact, that gift, the power to discern faults in others, you'll find is possessed not only by believers, but unbelievers alike. You don't even have to be converted to get that gift. Isn't that right? And in fact, this gift of the power to discover faults in others is absolutely forbidden in the Scriptures. It said, judge not, that you be not judged. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Friends, one purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to destroy this gift of criticism. and to replace it with the sweet gift of gentle forbearance. Praise the Lord. And so it is not, as I said to you, it is not fault-finding. I'll tell you, some of these folks that think they've got some gift from God to always find fault with the other fellow, if they'd just simply turn that on themselves for about 15 seconds, they never would use it anymore. That would be the end of that one. This discerning of spirits is not discerning of character or faults. It is not the discerning of people. You notice that? It said the discerning of spirits. It wouldn't have a thing in the world to do with people. It would have to do maybe with the spirit that might be manifesting itself through a person, but it wouldn't have to do with the person. You know, Paul, one day, when that little maiden with the spirit of divination followed along behind Paul and Silas and said, "These are the servants of the Most High God who have come hither to show us the way of salvation." One day on the street, Paul turned and said, it said, spoke to the spirit. He didn't speak to her. He didn't deal with her at all. He spoke to the spirit, it said, commanding her to come out of her. And she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. It's gone. When it was gone, she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And her masters got angry about it because, see, they made money off her telling fortunes. So they raised a ruckus against Paul and Silas, and, you know, and had them arrested and beaten, put in jail. And you know the story and the outcome of it. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I made mention of the fact that Paul didn't deal with the maiden. He dealt with the spirit. He dealt with the spirit. Now, this is not a spiritual gift to uncover human failings. That's not it. Actually, the Christian should walk in love, and love covers a multitude of sins. Are you listening to me? Actually, we're told, you see, Paul writing letters to the church, like writing to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, to the Ephesians, said in Ephesians 4:32, "But be ye kind, tenderhearted, one toward another," talking about Christians, "forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And so this isn't what some people call sometimes, this isn't it at all. It's discerning of spirits. Now, the word of knowledge, let me say again, gives us a revelation of anything that can be classified as existing or having existed. I like something Howard Carter said here in his book, and I'll read it. He said that the word of knowledge gives one a revelation of anything that can be classified as existing or having existed. So the fact, actually, he went on to say, of a spirit possessing a body could be revealed by the gift of the word of knowledge, not discerning of spirit. If you discern the spirit, you'd see the spirit. Now, I know in my own individual life, I would know before I ever had any kind of a manifestation of discerning of spirits. I would know, and I really didn't take time to find out how I knew it. I just knew I knew it till I began to study, you see, and classify it together. But I'd know sometime, not every time. Not every time. And no one will know every time, because this manifestation is given as the Spirit wills. And so I would know that a person, I'd know sometimes that a certain spirit was oppressing a body. And I'd speak to the spirit. Well, now, I remember really when it comes to mental diseases, very often there's a spirit involved, not always, because people can be sick mentally. It's like they can be sick at the stomach. See? Well, every time somebody's sick in the stomach doesn't mean that there's a demon present oppressing their body. There can be a number of reasons why, natural reasons why, that there's a reaction to it, see? But there can be a spirit present also. And the same thing's true mentally. Well, I can remember, actually, the first experience I ever had along this line, and you know, we learn through the Word, and we learn by experience also. was away back in 1943. I've related this a number of times, so I'll just hit a few high spots here quickly. And that was in 1943, the first Saturday of May of 1943. My wife and I were pastor of a little church in North Central Texas, and a lady brought her sister, who was home on furlough for a couple of weeks, from the Wichita Falls State Asylum. And the doctors had said that her mind would never be right. She'd always need institutional care. However, she had been violently insane. She tried to kill herself. She tried to kill others. And for over 2 years had been in a padded cell. And because of this being here, you see, within this small padded cell, no sunshine, not much exercise, her general health had deteriorated. Until they said, now we don't believe she'll ever be violent anymore, but she'll always need institutional care. But now if you could come and get her and take her home on 2 weeks furlough, walk her in the sunshine, exercise her, and if the sunshine, the exercise, and the change of environment doesn't improve her appetite and her general health, she just isn't going to live much longer. And the poor dear, it was just wasted away to nothing. So the first Saturday of May in 1943, well, she brought her to the parsonage, where we lived in Farmersville, Texas. And as we prayed, the Spirit of God said to me, on the inside of me, not in an audible voice, but on the inside of me, you go stand in front of her and say, come out, thou unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus. Well, I'd never done anything before like that before in my life. Though I had been preaching, I'd been acquainted with this supernatural area since 19 and... well, with healing, of course, since 1935, but I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1937, you see. And this was 6 years afterwards. And I was really reluctant, you know. I wanted to be sure the Lord's talking to me, and yet I knew He was. I knew He was. And so after some persuasion, I did. I went and stood in front of her and said, come out, thou unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus. Well, now, that just simply means that actually, you see, you've got a revelation here. It's revealed to me that her trouble is an unclean spirit. That's actually came by a word of knowledge, revelation, because I didn't see any spirit. So that was a word of knowledge. But then, you see, just because you know that a person may have that, it takes, here's where the gift of faith comes into operation. It takes faith to cast that thing out. And you know, here's where the gift of faith comes into operation. Now, when I said that, come out of the woman, thou unclean spirit, there was no kind of a manifestation. There wasn't anything you could see. There wasn't as far as you could tell, the woman didn't look any different. Her eyes didn't look any different. She was just like she was. And yet I was just as certain on the inside of me, I knew in my spirit that the command of faith was spoken and it had to be. It had to be. Well, that sister bundled her sister up and took her back to Greenville, Texas. That was Saturday afternoon. Now, 48 hours later, almost to the hour, Sister Brown, who was a member of our church, who lived in Greenville, but always came back every weekend to the services in Farmersville, and had come with her to show us where she lived and so on, because the other lady didn't know and so on. But anyway, she come rushing over that 15 miles from Greenville to Farmersville to our parsonage and saying, oh, Brother Hagin, Sister Hagin, said, pray. I said, what about? Well, she said, Janie. That was the woman's name, given name with the mental condition. Said, she's having a terrible attack like she did when she first lost her mind. Well, now, ordinarily, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I was really surprised at myself. That didn't bother me a bit. On the inside of me, there was something that just simply sustained me, that was beyond me from a natural or from a physical or from a mental standpoint. And I just casually said, what of it? What of it? I said, I spoke the word of faith Saturday afternoon, and it has to be. It has to be. And I said, the devil knows he's got to go. And I said, didn't you ever read in the Bible when Jesus would tell an evil spirit to leave a person? that sometimes before he'd leave, he'd throw them down and tear them, the scripture said. And so I said, the devil knows he's got to go, and so he's just tearing her before he goes. When that's over, he'll leave, and she'll never have another attack. She'll be all right. And so Sister Brown said, well, that's exactly what Margene said. That was the sister, Janie's sister, you see, who had brought it. Said, that's what she said. Well, sure enough, when that attack was over, her mind was clear. And, of course, she's an inmate of the asylum. They can't keep her. They've got to take her back. But when they took her back, the psychiatrist examined her, they dismissed her. They pronounced her well. Amen. That was 27 years ago. The woman was in her 40s. Now, we've been in contact with her, through her sister and some of her kinfolks, in recent years. And we haven't now in the last, since we've been here, in the last 3 or 4 years. But when I say recent years, I mean after she was in her 70s and she was still well, praise God, and fine. Well, you see, the thing was this, that you got these gifts operate together. Very often we are distinguishing between them to define them, but they'll work together. Here was a manifestation of the word of knowledge and of the gift of faith in manifestation. And so Brother Carter said here that would be a word of knowledge, and I believe that was not discerning of spirits. But Brother Carter went on to say, if one was informed about a spirit but had no vision of the spirit, he would not discern it. But by the discerning of spirits, we see beyond the sphere for which we have been created, since we are a natural being. The discerning of spirits is only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that we can perceive the things that live in the spirit world. Now, I know this much. In my own individual case, I would know sometimes in physical sickness, like I said, the word of knowledge has always operated in my ministry from the time I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I guess I've had more manifestation of the word of knowledge than any other one of the gifts of the Spirit. When the Ephesians was filled, Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. Remember, we'll get into that when we come to the speaking of tongues. The speaking of tongues is always manifested at the initial reception of the Holy Spirit. But then it says concerning these Ephesians that they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the other four instances where people received the Holy Ghost in the Acts of the Apostles, it doesn't say anything more than that they spoke with tongues. But here they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, in my case, I spoke with tongues, and I really didn't know what I had received at the moment. But this other something began to operate. And I found out in the process of time what it was the word of knowledge, because I would know things. I would know things. It would be revealed to me. It would come in three different ways. Sometimes it would come in vision form while I was preaching. I know just immediately, almost, after I'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, well, I was preaching, and while I was preaching, there's a certain person of the congregation sitting out before me, and suddenly I seemed to be off in another city. I knew the town I was in. I was standing on the street, and I saw this person walking down this street. I saw someone drive up to the car, the curb in the car, and sound the horn, gain this person's attention, this person get in the car with them. I saw them leave that town. I saw where they went. I saw what they did. And then after I had this revelation that came in vision form, I came back to myself. I mean, I became conscious. And all the time I could hear the sound of my voice as I preached my sermon, but didn't know one word I said. And this was the first manifestation I had of this, and so I looked, you know, at my watch, because I had it in front of me, and I had been preaching. I mean, I'd been gone for about 10 minutes. And I said, Lord, so real quickly I finished my sermon. I had my notes in front of me, and I didn't know what I'd said, and I finished my sermon. I brought it to a conclusion. And I said, active is over, I asked one of the men, one of the board members of the church we were talking, I said, was my sermon all right this morning? This is Sunday morning. He said, oh, fine, fine. I said, right there, I preached about 15 minutes, I mean about 30 minutes altogether. And I said, the last 10 minutes, in other words, from about 15 minutes, because I maybe it took 5 to close out. So in other words, after 15 minutes of that sermon, that 10 minutes in there just before I closed, was that all right? Yeah, he said, it's fine. I said, well, what I said, was it in line with what I was preaching about? Because I was off somewhere else. I wasn't there. I mean, my spirit was over there, see? Yeah, he said it was just, oh, he said it seemed like a greater anointing came on you. In fact, he said your face shined so until you couldn't hardly look at you. But what you said was right in line with what you was preaching about. Then I told him about it. Never did tell anybody else except this one fella. I told him about it. I said, well, man, I left there for about 10 minutes and was going over to another town. Well, now somebody sat down. Now, that's silly for a fella talking. Well, now, wait a minute. You believe the Bible? I said, you believe the Bible? Well, now, listen. You remember there in the Old Testament, we looked at it the other night in the Word of Knowledge. Don't you remember Elisha? You remember Naaman, the prophet? Naaman came and to this prophet Elisha, Naaman the Syrian, who had leprosy and was healed. And he'd offered Elijah silver and gold. He wouldn't take any of it. But Elisha had a servant named Gehazi. And he ran after Naaman, you see, and lied to him. And he said to Naaman, after you left, my master now, the prophet, wouldn't take any silver, gold, changes of raiment, or suits of clothes, we'd say. But he said, two young prophets came, or in other words, and said, though he wouldn't take anything for himself, he said it'd be all right to take a couple of changes of raiment apiece for them, so many talents of silver, so many talents of gold. And so of course, Naaman was so thrilled to be healed of his leprosy that he gave him twice as much as he asked for, and Gehazi took it and hid it, because he's a thief and he's a liar. He's just getting it for his own benefit. And then he came back into the presence of Elisha the prophet, and Elisha asked him, said, where you been? Well, he said, nowhere, my master. He said, my spirit went with you. Didn't he? Yeah, my spirit went with you. He said, I saw you. In other words, I was standing right there by that chariot. I saw you when you joined yourself to that chariot. See, I saw what you did. Now, he said, the leprosy of Naaman be upon thee and thy family forever. And it fell on him. It fell on him. You know, Paul made an amazing statement that may startle you, but it's in the Bible. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's in the Bible. I know sometimes people take some of these things and build on them and go to the extreme. But let's stay within the area of the Bible with them. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, you know, in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, said to them, he wrote a letter to them. He was absent from them, but he wrote a letter to them and said, now listen, it's commonly reported that there's fornication among you, and such fornication should not be mentioned among saints of God, of the church of God, that a man should have his father's wife, a son. Here was a son, evidently, that had taken his stepmother away from his daddy and just living with her in open sin. And so Paul says, when ye are come together with my spirit, when ye are come together with my spirit, the spirit of Paul, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, my spirit's going to be there. I'm going to see what you do. Amen. Well, now, I've had that happen to me several times. Sometime right in the middle of the sermon while I was preaching. It seemed like it happens more than it does any other time. Amen. Now then, as I said, that was a word of knowledge, a revelation, you see, concerning facts of what things that exist or have existed. Comes by vision sometimes. Comes by an audible voice sometimes. It comes just by the Spirit of God speaking to you. Or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, either one, may come through prophecy or even through tongues with interpretation, you see. Now then, the discerning of spirits, I would know about spirits very often because that the word of knowledge would show me. Now, for instance, I was holding a meeting years ago, I remember, in the First Assembly of God Church in Kilgore, Texas. And there was a fella who came for healing. And when this fellow came for healing, I remember he, when I laid hands on him. And sometimes this will never work. It doesn't with me, at least. And I guess, of course, you can't confine it to any one way for it working, because he said here there are diversities of operations. There are diversities of operations. So I suppose that would mean that it might operate different. Diverse means different. See? It might work, same gift might work different with another individual. But I know in my own individual case, sometimes I'll never know until I touch the person or until I lay my hand on them. And then I'll know. And then again, sometimes when it's in operation, I don't have to touch them or lay hands on them. I never know until they stand before me. But when they stand before me, then I know. Until then, I don't know. I may know something about it, but I don't know the full story. And so, I remember this fellow came, and I asked him, of course, what he came for first. He said, for healing. I asked him if he's a Christian. He said, well, he's a member there of the First Assembly. And I asked him what his trouble was, and he said, well, the doctor said he had ulcerated stomach. In fact, he said, they showed me the x-ray, and he said they looked to be a wad of ulcers as big as a wasp's nest in my stomach. And he worked for one of the oil companies there, and he said they wanted to operate. I can't go back to work, you know, unless the doctors give me the okay, and he wouldn't submit to an operation, so there's nothing left for him to do except just to live with it. And so, I found out the details of the case. I laid my hands on his head to pray. When it did, I had a vision. And I saw this fellow's house. I saw a sleeping porch built on the back of his house. You know, it's built up so far from the ground, from the floor and down so far, and then just screened, you know. And then over this screen, they had a canvas, and they'd roll that awning up sometime. And I saw him, and I knew that it was two nights before. At midnight, his bedroom was up in the front of the house, but he couldn't sleep, and he didn't want to wake his wife, so he got up and went back there, and there's a bed on the sleeping porch, as we'd call it. And he was just rolling one side of that bed to the other, trying to sleep. And his stomach was hurting him, and I saw him holding his stomach, just to roll it. But then not only his stomach was hurting him, but I knew also that his spirit was bothering him. God was talking to the man. Here he was, a member of the First Assembly of God Church, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, good, responsible job for several years, and had never supported the church. He didn't pay his tithes. And God was talking to him about doing that. So I said to him, brother, wait a minute. You know, we'd started to pray, and I laid hands on him, and I said, now, you see, that was actually a word of knowledge, what that was. I wasn't seeing into the spirit realm. Something was revealed to me in this realm. And so I said to him, I saw you there two nights ago. About midnight, you couldn't sleep. Your bedroom's up the front of the house, but there's a sleeping porch, screen porch, screened in back porch, sleeping porch, we'd call it, on the back of the house, and there's a bed back there, and you got up and went back there about midnight. And I saw you just rolling from one side of the bed. It's a full double bed, but you just rolling from one side to the other, holding your stomach and a groaning and a hurting your stomach. But then not only that, but said your conscience was hurting you. Because God was talking to you about paying your tithes. You've never done that, have you? Why, he said, you must be a fortune teller or a mind reader. But see, this ain't not a thing in the world to do with fortune telling or mind reading. Amen. It's of the Spirit of God, you see. That was a revelation. And he said, that's exactly right. Well, I said, now, I can't pray for you before till you tell me what you're going to do. What are you going to do about doing what God asked you to do? He said, I'm going to pay my tithe and support God and support the church. And I laid hands on him and prayed. Now, of course, you couldn't see any kind of a manifestation, but as I prayed, I said to him, now, you go home and eat a T-bone steak. He'd already told me that for nearly 2 years he hadn't been on anything except baby food and a little soft stuff, you know. He went home, made T-bone steak. Before the week was out, he said he went right back to the same doctor. In fact, he's back working for the week now because they took x-rays of his stomach and couldn't find a thing in it. It all disappeared. It had all disappeared. Well, now then, somebody said, why didn't you... Brother Hagin, in fact, people came and said this to me later. Now, you went right down that line praying with people, and there were some people you prayed for right there, three or four people later, and they didn't pay tithes. And you never said a word to them. They testified about getting healed. Well, I said, God didn't show me anything. I mean, I can't minister beyond what he said. Well, somebody said, why did God let them get by and the other not? Well, I propose you go ask God about it. Don't ask me. I'm not God. If you won't know, go ask him. But in the second place, I have another suggestion for you. It ain't none of your business. Because, you see, some people are more enlightened than other people are. Are you listening to me? Some people are advanced and grown more spirits than more is required of them than somebody else. Amen. When they come to the light, then they're required to walk in the light. Isn't that true? And so we need to realize those things, and then we'll not be so quick to judge about things. Well, now, I can remember this, that I was holding a meeting right here in the state of Oklahoma years ago. Read it down, the Assembly of God Church in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Actually, there's more than one church involved there. There were several Assembly of God churches in that area. I believe one Church of God and one independent Pentecostal church, all cooperating together on a meeting. And I was holding the meeting, you see. And one night after the meeting was over, really I was holding, I'd been there for two meetings and I was back teaching a couple of weeks. And the pastor and I were praying in the parsonage there. And as we prayed, the Lord appeared to me in a vision. And he said to me, I'm going to talk to you about the devil, demons, and demon possession. And he said, from this night on, what's known in my word as the discerning of spirits will operate in your life when you're in the spirit. Well, of course, the vision itself of seeing Jesus was a manifestation of discerning of spirits because it was a revelation and I was seeing into the realm of spirits. Now, my very first manifestation after then was this. Immediately, that was before Christmas of 1952. And so after this 2 weeks of teaching, well, I went home to Garland for Christmas time. And then I went down to Tyler, Texas, to the Rose Center Assembly of God Church and began a meeting on the last Sunday of the year. And as I did, as I was there, the pastor, Brother D.D. Lewis, who still lives there, isn't pastor of the church, but he said, Brother Egan, I trust my niece receives her healing while you're here. Went on to explain he'd put her through two different clinics, and they said she had cancer of the left lung, wanted to operate on her, and she wouldn't submit to operation. Now then it's spread to both lungs, and it's too late for an operation, even if she'd wanted one. And she'd wasted away to nothing. They were feeding her six times a day. She is bedfast. And just simply, I wish you could have seen her, just simply wasted away to nothing, just so weak. Well, I announced healing services. My custom in those days, particularly in the smaller churches, was to have a healing service every Tuesday and Friday night. So they got her out of bed and brought her the first week, Tuesday and Friday night. Second week, Tuesday and Friday night, I prayed for her. Now, on Tuesday of the third week, they got out of bed again and brought her. And she was the very first one in the line. And I said to her, I see you're here. Now, she is so weak somebody had to, you know, just practically hold her up. And she said, yes, yes, I've come again. And I laid my hand on her. Now, I didn't no more expect what to happen that did happen than I expected to be the first man to never land on the moon. But when I said that, I was in the spirit. When I said that, I had my eyes wide open, but that whole crowd disappeared. Every pew disappeared. The pulpit disappeared. Brother Lewis standing right by my side, he disappeared. And all I could see was this young lady and myself standing in a circle of light. And I saw a demon or an evil spirit hanging on to her body over her left lung. I knew that that was the cause of the situation. The cause had to be dealt with. I commanded the thing to leave her in the name of Jesus. I both saw him and heard him speak to me. Nobody else saw anything or heard anything. You see, this is a manifestation of the discerning of spirits. This is seeing into the realm of spirits. And so, when I commanded to leave, he fell off from her body and fell down on the floor and just lay there and whimpered and whined like a whipped pup. And he said, I sure don't want to, but I know if you tell me to, I have to. Well, I said, not only leave her body, but you leave these premises. In the name of Jesus, he ran down the aisle and out the door of the church. And she was healed. I mean, she went right back that very week. This was Tuesday night. She went right that very next day to the last clinic. She'd been through two of them, said, I want you to take x-ray pictures of my lung. Oh, they said, we've got them all there, because see, she didn't look any different. She still looked like this couldn't be up. Yes, but she said, we want you to take x-ray. I want them. Because they said, well, why? She said, something has happened. They said, what? She wanted to get their verdict first, you see. She said, well, you take the pictures. They took the pictures, and then they told her something's happened. They said, your lungs have cleared up. They wanted to take some more. They wanted to run some more tests on their own. They wouldn't even charge her anything for. And they run these tests. And they said, in fact, they put the other pictures they had up right beside these and said, see these lungs? Now, see them here? They're just as clear as anybody's lungs. And then other tests that we run on you all prove, every test proves negative. Now, then they said, what happened to you? They thought maybe she had been under the care of some other doctor. And she testified in church, said, you know, I told her and the crowd afterwards what I saw, because they heard what I did, they knew I saw something was acting. And they said, and she said, I told them exactly what Brother Hagin said he saw and what I heard him do. And she said, those doctors said to me, well, we don't know about that, but we do know this. It was there, now it's gone. And she didn't ask them to. She didn't ask them. But they said, if you want us to, we'll give you a signed affidavit that you had cancer of the lung and that now that you do not. That you're well, that you're healed, that there's no trace of it. And said, whoever the fellow is, evidently he's got the answer. We don't. Said, our hat's off to him, more power to him. Praise God. See, they're not against healing. They're in the healing business. They're glad to see folk delivered. Well, I closed that meeting, went down to Beaumont, Texas, and was holding a meeting in Lamar Assembly of God, and Brother Lewis came down there. And when he came down, you see, which was 3 weeks... Well, actually, 2 weeks after our meeting had closed, and nearly 3 weeks after she's healed. And he testified about the healing, you know, and again about what the doctors had said to her. And he said, you know, in these 16 days, she's gained 16 pounds. She's put on a pound a day. She was down to that, but when you keep eating six times a day, well, you keep, you know, you build up right away. Amen. Now, after 17 years, she's still well. Praise the Lord. Somebody said the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Amen. Well, if these things are not proven, well, forget them. But thank God we've got irrefutable proof. God's word works. Well, now again, that wasn't me. Somebody said, well, Brother Hagin, minister me. Well, I will, and all with all the ability I have and God gives me. But you see, you don't operate these things as you will. It is as the Spirit wills. If it had been me doing that, I'd done that the first night, lay hands on her. But this was the fifth time I'd laid hands on her. You know, that's one reason the people need to be in the presence where God's in manifestation, where God's working. Just because you went one time, nothing happened, no sign that there's nothing going to happen. Amen. Isn't that right? Sure, that's right. Praise God. Because the very next time may be the time when the Spirit of God's in manifestation. And you know, I found this out, that when God's in manifestation, when the Spirit of God's moving, that it's a whole lot easier to receive then than it is a lot of other times. Amen. That's the truth.